And good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Well, it is a blessing to gather together and to worship God. And I'm very excited about what we're going to be covering today. We're going to let Mark give the sermon today. That's the Apostle Mark. And it's quite fascinating. But let's pray first and just ask God to open our hearts and our minds, because we are to be a house of prayer. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your house of prayer, that we are your son's body to be, the body of Christ. And we are so grateful to be here, to worship you, and we need you desperately. We are so thankful that you've called us and you've chosen us. And it's not about us, it's about you. And so, God, we just ask you to teach us how to follow your son the way that the disciples were trained by you, by the Holy Spirit, to follow him, because he is our head. He is the head of the church. The body needs to follow the head. So help us to learn how to follow very carefully, so that we do everything we do to your glory, Father. In the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, it's quite fascinating when we realize that we have four people, four apostles who gave a rendition of the life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to listen to the one here who brings it down very concisely to what is really, to him, very critical to know. And I was just looking it up in my own Bible that Luke has 35 pages in my Bible. And then Matthew has 32 pages in my Bible. John simplifies it down. He has 25 pages in my Bible, but Mark has 20 pages. So he cuts right to the chase and gets right to the main point that, and each one has a very important perspective, but it all is the same thing, to get our focus on Jesus Christ, and it's all about his life, and then most of all, his life in us that changes everything. So we're going to read seven jam-packed verses, beginning in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, which is interesting. Why did he go to Galilee? Well, there's something we can learn about that. Proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. And the second thing he says, repent and believe the good news. Here are two things that were very important in Mark's perspective, simplified down what he wants done, what God wants done. So as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I've read this at least 50 times, if not 500 times, and it went in one ear and out the other. Well, yeah, okay. They were fishing. What's the point? There's a lot to it. I mean, Mark begins this account here after only 14 verses in the first chapter, and he is beginning the ministry of Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Jesus was on this earth for 30 years before he even began his ministry. When he was 30 years old, what was he doing all that time before then? Nobody knows. A few people think they know, but the one thing we do know, that he made a lot of friends and a lot of relationships, and some of them are mentioned right here. He was very close to them. He knew them well. Mark begins his short account about John the Baptist, and he covers the whole story about John the Baptist for verses 4 through 8. He simplifies it down and concisely brings out what preceded the ministry of Jesus, because he wanted to get right into that, because that is what is most important. But he does mention John the Baptist was paving the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And an even shorter section on Jesus' baptism, verses 9 through 11, gives the whole story of Jesus' baptism. And then is followed by two verses about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. So he just cuts right to the chase. But the question is when we get into now Jesus' ministry that we were talking about here, where our scriptures for today, Mark 1, 14 through 20, and then the rest of the book for that matter, we get a quick look into what Jesus' ministry entails. And what it entails, it's a ministry of preaching and calling. There's two things, but how does that relate to us? We want it to relate to us to see how that fits because, well, have I been called to preach? Jesus went preaching and we're supposed to let him live in us and how do we preach? How do we do that? And how do we call? Do we call anybody? How does this work? How do we do this? But anyway, the book of Mark has a laser focus on what is essential to the gospel message. And so it's very important for us to focus on these things. Now notice as we begin here in verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. Now what was it about Galilee? You'd think here Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and everything. And he's going to this out-of-the-way place in Galilee. Normally, when you have a king, you're going to go either to Rome, the capital of the world at that particular time, or at least to Jerusalem, the capital of where all the Jews were, you know, because he's the king. But this demonstrates the kind of king we have. He went right where he grew up. He began his ministry, just like we need to begin our ministry, where we are, where we came from, or where we're located at that particular time. It's not some big thing where we have to, all of us, get on the radio and all the rest of that. Not that that would be necessarily wrong. That would be fine. But it just shows that Jesus started working in a very way of letting us know that we don't have to make a big issue out of the thing. We can start working about doing what God wants us to do exactly where we are. And that's what Jesus did. He just went into Galilee where he grew up in Nazareth and he was proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what we need to do. But how do we proclaim the good news of God? Now, there's lots of ways that we can do that, but I'd like to focus on these two ways on how we preach the gospel. One of the most important ways that we can do that is to pray with people. But before you pray with people, you need to listen. It's very important. But when we spend time with people and listen to people, you're letting Jesus Christ live in you. He's working through you. And people need this relationship, and they need to see that it's okay to pray with one another. I mean, Cliff has been very helpful. Every time we get together, we pray together. That's a wonderful gift to follow that example of praying together. Because what we're doing is we're preaching the kingdom of God. We're pointing to the kingdom. The kingdom is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. When we pray, we are giving the glory to Jesus. We are pointing to Jesus. And that is something that I strive to do every chance, unless I have my spiritual gift kick in, which is forgetting, and talk with somebody and then forget to pray. But then I realize that was not as helpful, no matter what I said, as it could be if I asked God to be involved in the process of whatever I might have said or what God inspired to be said. Because every time we point people to Jesus and we bring him into the picture, you are glorifying God. You're worshiping God. You're putting him first. What is it that God says? This is the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your being. That's worshiping God. It's putting him first and letting God know, I want to follow you. I want to do exactly what you want. You're my head. I'm your body. I want to do exactly what you want me to do. I want to follow you. And the way we do that is through prayer. Prayer is priceless, and that's how it comes about. When we pray, God works. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And it is such a blessing to have that privilege of having Jesus Christ working in and through us. Now we also see right in here, just prior to this time, about John the Baptist, and we see that when you do follow Jesus, sometimes it's not going to be all that easy. John the Baptist, he says there was none greater on the face of the earth than John, but yet he got killed. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen in each of our lives, but My favorite verse when it comes to that is Luke 21:36. I quote that a lot just of personal encouragement, that watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass. I don't particularly want to be a martyr, but if that's what God has in mind. But that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to most of the apostles except John. He just wants us to realize no matter what, when we have Jesus living in us, he's not going to give us anything more than we can handle. When Christ is in us, he empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. And so we see here Mark presenting Jesus' ministry first and foremost as proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming he is the king. They were always saying, here is Jesus Christ, here is the good shepherd, and everything that the Old Testament was pointing to is Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do, is point people to Jesus, and the best way you can do that is not go knocking on doors and cramming it down people's throats, but listening to people and caring about how they're doing, and then say, well, why don't we just pray about this? Because everybody's got problems. And if anybody doesn't have problems, it's because they're hiding them and you don't know about them. Everybody's got problems. And the closer you get to people, the more we're going to have to pray about. And God, he wants us to become a house of prayer. If you want to proclaim the gospel, you're doing that without causing any kind of stir necessarily, simply because you're praying with people. When you pray, you're proclaiming the gospel. What a blessing to be able to do that. And it says he was proclaiming the gospel, which has everything to do with the kingdom of God. Now, the word kingdom is a political term. And when we understand it, the gospel is very political because we are proclaiming a new government. But it's a spiritual government because Jesus Christ is going to be king over all the earth. It's very comforting to realize that when we're proclaiming Jesus, we're proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. But here we see that God is in control of everything. He wants us to, when we pray with people, we give him all the focus. We are proclaiming the kingdom of God. And something else that sometimes we overlook, that every one of our prayers, we wonder, well, what if God is not answering my prayers? Did you know that all of your prayers are saved in heaven? Let's read that. It's over in Revelation 5 in verse 8. Thought that was fascinating, and it's nice to know that when we pray with someone, this is not just going to the ceiling, because we're praying about the kingdom and about God fulfilling his will in our lives. Let's read Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And it says here in verse 7, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Interesting. So your prayers are not going unheard. They are being recorded, and God answers them according to his will and in his good timing, because there's nobody that has any better timing than God, because he's perfect in everything that he does. But it's nice to know that when we pray with individuals, it is not just going in one ear and out the other. It's going into the ears of God and into that golden bowl of incense in the kingdom, and waiting for those prayers, many of them, to be answered when Jesus Christ returns. All right, let's take a look at the second thing that God is looking for. As we read, after the kingdom of God is near, the time has come, proclaiming the good news and so on. Then he says, repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. So God wants it to come from here, to come down into our heart, so that we are focusing on him. He wants us to do everything that we do to fulfill his will, to give glory to God. Let's notice a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because this is a fulfillment of what he says right here, to repent and believe the gospel. Repent means turn around and go the other way and believe, that's in your heart, believe with all of your heart, soul, mind, and being, the good news and so on. But let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, and it says, Verse 30, if I take part in a meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something else? So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do. So here's a second opportunity. The second thing God is really looking for us to do is to do everything that we do for God's glory, not for our glory. And this is a major issue. I mean, this is one way that we can do everything to the glory of God is to give thanks to God for everything, all the time. And the more I think about this, everywhere we look, we need to give thanks. If anybody ever has trouble filling up your time of prayer, it's because we're missing a major point, and that's the second point, is giving thanks, giving glory to God, thanking Him. Think of all the things. We wouldn't have these light bulbs if God hadn't inspired Edison to design this thing, but He made it in the first place. But everything you look at is a gift from God. Everything. Your friends are a gift from God. The sun is a gift from God. The moon, the star. When you just think of God designed all of these things, and we go out there and look at a clear night, and you see all these stars, and then if you had a telescope and you could see further, you'd see that there are galaxies out there, and they're all together. Then there's solar systems inside of those galaxies, and they can't even find the end of it. God made this. God made it all. I mean, this is the God we worship, and we can spend time in prayer just thanking God, because it's really nice when people thank you for something that you did. Well, how do you think God feels? He likes to be thanked because everything we see, everything we look at, the fact that we've got eyes and ears and nose and a mouth, some of us have hair, and then there's the rest of us have various gifts and talents and so forth. They all come from God. That might be a really good prayer sometime, is just to spend your whole time thanking God for everything you see. And you'll never, ever have enough time for that, because there's just too many things everywhere you look. Everything. God made it all. That's the God we serve. That's what He's talking about when He says, repent. He wants us to turn around and think differently than we've ever thought before. He doesn't want us. He says, come out from among them and be you separate. Be not partakers of this, the evil deeds. God hates, He doesn't hate the world. He hates the sin in the world. God so loved the world. He loves the people in the world. He just hates the sin. And He wants us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what am I doing that is not being done for the glory of God? And that's one of the best things that we can do. If you want to find out how you can really fulfill this scripture of repenting and believing the good news, or believing the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. What pleases Jesus? That even rhymes. What pleases Jesus? And just say, God, I want you to show me what I am doing so that I can please Jesus and please you and the Holy Spirit more than what I've ever done before. And I'll tell you a little secret. God will answer every one of those prayers. He'll put thoughts in your mind that you know didn't come from you. He'll just put thoughts in there because He wants to answer. You're praying in accordance with the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God, He always answers a prayer like that, because that's what He's looking for. As we've said many times, the eyes of God roam the entire earth looking for people who are willing to fulfill His will. And the way to fulfill His will is say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? What am I doing that is not glorifying you? What is it that I do that might be inhibiting my relationship with you? Because if there's anything God wants, is He wants to be in us and us in Him. He makes that clear. That's what the new covenant is all about. He lives in us and we need to be in Him. How are we not in Him when we're in the world and thinking like the world and acting like the world and loving the things of this world? If any man loves the things of this world, that says the love of the Father is not in him. God hates the things that are in this world, the vanity, lust, and greed, and selfishness, and all the things that human nature conjures up and creates and does that just causes problems for everybody. And so here is the second thing that God really wants us to focus on. He wants us to always do what is glorifying God. Everything that we see, to just give Him thanks for it. to give the glory to God. And when we are praying and leading people into a relationship with God by prayer and then giving all the glory to God, you're in sync with the will of God. That's what he's looking for. And in the process of learning to do this, the thing that I've found fascinating in the last few years of spiritual growth in my personal life is that the more we pray about these things, the more we see God in everything we do. Everything that we do. I mean, it's just fascinating that God is involved, because God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wherever there is life, that is where God is. He is working. There would be no fish if God were not in the fish. Now you say, well, how can God be in fish? Well, he's alive. I don't know if that's what he's talking about, whatever the case may be. But he says, if you're in the bottom of the ocean, he says, I am there. Well, why is he down there? He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. I'm only saying these things so that we can glorify God and say, God, you are the best. You can do anything. With God, all things are possible. And if you want to repent and believe the gospel, ask God to do that in and through you so that you can do everything that you do to the glory of God. When you take that kind of an approach, God is going to be pleased and he's going to do all sorts of wonderful things for you and through you. I would like to conclude by reading 5 chapters in the Bible. How about that? Let's take a look over here. I read this because this is the, I read 5 chapters in Psalms every day to complete the whole book in a month, and 1 chapter in Proverbs. But for the ones for today, actually it was yesterday since I was working on this, Psalm 96, let's begin reading this, because if there's anything that I see here, I just see giving God the glory for everything. Look at this. Psalm 96 through 100. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the year. That's what we do. We just got through doing that. And what a gift that is to us to be able to praise God. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. How do we proclaim his salvation day after day? Well, when we pray with people, we're proclaiming his salvation, because he is the one that saves us out of, he says, he delivers us out of all of our afflictions. When we pray, God works. When we work, we work. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. Now, who are the nations? I'm not going to be going over to Iraq and proclaim. No, the nations are right here. We're all different nations. It's talking about different people groups. And we're not all the same. To everybody, don't leave anybody out. That's all. Don't say, well, I don't want nothing to do with you. No, we can pray about everybody and pray with everybody, whoever is willing. Declare his glory among the nations, or all people groups. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. What marvelous deeds? As you become more spiritually mature, you're going to see more of the marvelous deeds of God working in your life that you assumed you had done, and actually God did, but you didn't realize it. Because God is working all the time. He is in you. He wants to work in you and through you, and like Jesus said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. And when Jesus is in us and we're asking him to do the works through us, all the glory goes to God. He's just using us as his instruments. So declare his glory among all people groups and his marvelous deeds among all people, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. That means awed above anything else, because some people, their God is themselves or something else. Whatever they put in front of God is their God. And whatever those things are, God is to be awed far above any of that stuff. For all the gods of the nations are idols. Idols are anything that you put before God. That's the first commandment in the Old Testament. You shall have no other gods before me. But the Lord made the heavens. That's what we're talking about. Wow, just think about that. It melts your mind. Splendor and majesty are before him, and strength and glory are in his sanctuary. So when he's in you, he gives you strength and he gives you glory. Glory is a gift from God, and He's going to really give you glory when He comes back, and you have a glorified body to go with the glorified spiritual mind. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. In other words, just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is how we follow Jesus. Just thank Him profusely, because everything that we have, the strength we have to go to work and to bring home a paycheck, that strength comes from God because He put it into the food and causes you to be, and the gift of being able to sleep. When you sleep, it is a gift from God. And I've tried that. When I don't get some sleep at night, then I fall apart the next day. But sleep is a gift from God, because you wouldn't have strength to do the work that God's called you to do if you don't get sleep and get food and so forth. So ascribe, verse 8, to the Lord, the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. In other words, just give thanks to God. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. So when we come into the presence of God, we need to realize who we are in the presence of. He is to be awed and absolutely worshiped, and to tremble before Him, all the earth, realizing what He can do. We're going to see what He can do here in a moment, which is something you probably never thought of before, but it's quite fascinating what's coming up. Say to the nations, the Lord reigns. In other words, God's in charge. He can take care of anything. You've got nothing to worry about. In fact, worry is the number one command not to do. Fear not, all through the Bible. Because worry is just basically telling God you don't trust Him. Say, the Lord reigns. Tell people of, no matter who they are, God's in charge here and He knows what He's doing. And just say, how do you want me to deal with this situation that you've placed before me? The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved, and He will judge the peoples with fairness. Because when He comes back, because Jesus Christ is coming back, and when He comes back, we're going to finally have peace. And people are going to have happiness, because the one who is going to be the president of the world at that time is Jesus. And when we go to Him, He's always going to do what is right, no matter what, because He's perfect. No wonder Jesus, when He was being crucified, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross. Well, we're going through the cross now. We all have our cross to bear, but we can have joy in the process because of what we're looking forward to. That's what He's telling us here. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. How does the heavens rejoice? You know? How does God be omnipresent and be here with you and living in you and be in some other galaxy at the same time? That's one of my questions I'm going to ask Him when I see Him. How can you do that? He says, it's simple, and here's how it works. But I'm waiting to hear the answer. But that's why He's God and we're not. But let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and let the sea resound and all that is in it, because God is in it. He is the life. And wherever there is life, there would be no life if Jesus Christ was not the source of that life. And He is the one that sustains that life. And He's created the environment for that life to be sustained for that particular creation that He made. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. When you look at a plant, I mean, I've got this peppermint plant. I picked it up because it's got this fragrance and it also keeps insects and stuff away. But just looking at this plant and just realizing God made this, and this aroma that comes out from a peppermint plant, it's fascinating. And God has made thousands of these different kinds of plants, and each one has a different benefit to our bodies, which if we consume them, it's called herbs, you know? Fascinating. I mean, we can just thank you, God. Look what you've done. It's just beyond comprehension what God has created, and we can just spend all of our time. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. How do the trees in the forest sing for joy? There's life in it. Those trees wouldn't be growing if there wasn't life in those trees. That's another question we can ask God. How did you do that? He'll show us. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. All the trees are going to sing. I'm sure that's a very interesting illustration. He comes to the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. And the righteousness that he judges is his righteousness, not ours. Ours is called self-righteousness. And we know what that's like with the Pharisees. But when he gives us his righteousness, that's what he is going to judge the world with, that kind of righteousness that is good to the core and is fair to everyone. And the peoples in his truth, that's by the word he gives to us. The Lord reigns, chapter 97. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. That's people overseas or the shores. There's much going on behind the scenes, but everywhere we look, say, God, thank you for the beach. Don't you like going to the beach? When you're a little kid, being able to dig in the sand, God made that. So you could dig in the sand and then you watch the waves come in and wipe out your little house that you built there or whatever. God made all that stuff. Fascinating. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Well, why, if God is the light of the world, why does clouds and thick darkness surround him? Because God sees in the dark. Did you know that? He doesn't need the sun to see. We do. If we don't have light, we can't see. God sees in the dark. That's another question we could ask. How do you see in the dark? We can't do that. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. What a beautiful picture. That's what we have at the Ambassador College campus. The Word of God is the foundation of all knowledge. Well, this is probably going to be on a lot of the nation's placards or whatever. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Perfect. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. Because that fire, what does fire do? It cleanses and it purifies. It destroys anything that is bad, or even if it's whatever it is, it goes back the way it was and then it can start growing again. But fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. And his foes are Satan and so on. Satan can't do anything. Satan can't even touch you if God doesn't give him permission. That's the kind of God we serve. Your enemies can't even get anywhere near you. It says the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and delivers them. He puts a shield of faith where you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. He's shooting all these thoughts in your mind trying to get you to do stuff you shouldn't be doing. God can quench all those fiery darts. That's the God that we worship. His lightning lights up the world. I've got this picture on my iPhone of this mountain and this lightning that is just every second the lightning is going off out of the mountain. It's just gorgeous. It makes you realize God made that. And how does he keep it going like that? His lightning lights up the world and the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Can you imagine that? God's presence, all he has to do is be there, and all of a sudden the mountains, for us, we have to get in a car or get climbing gear and climb up the mountain. When he's there, the mountains just melt. How does he do that? Maybe he'll have a video of what happened in the days of creation when all of a sudden mountains came right up out of the ocean and all sorts of things took place. But that's the God we serve. Just thinking about the kind of things that he's done and that he will do is awesome. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. When you look out in the heavens, you can just see only somebody who is beyond comprehension could design and make something like this and hold it together and have us have rockets going out in the air and get a closer look at that. And it's all governed by laws and gravity and laws that are beyond our wildest dreams. And all the people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. What are images? Whatever it is that's coming before, between you and God, whatever you're spending your time with that is wasting your time when you could be glorifying God in some way or another. Just all who worship images, if you're thinking something in this world is going to give you the happiness and the joy and the peace that God can give to you, and you're neglecting your relationship with God, then you're just missing the boat big time. So that's why I have to honestly say, God, help me to get my mind back where it needs to be, because it's so easy. Distractions are my favorite activity. I love distractions, And I've got to repent of that all the time because I love to be distracted. I just, no matter what it is, I'm happy to be distracted. But that's not a good thing to do all the time. But God can help us with whatever it is that we're struggling with. Verse 8, Zion hears and rejoices. That's the church and God's people, wherever they are. Zion hears and rejoices. And the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. What are God's judgments for the church? You have been judged righteous. That's a wake-up call to help us to realize, you mean God has already judged us? Yeah. 1 Peter 4:17, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what's going to happen to the rest of the world? But he's already judged us righteous because he sees Jesus Christ in you. And when Jesus is in you, you have his righteousness. Because our righteousness, God says, is like filthy rags. So the church and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Your judgments are full of grace and truth. That's the God we worship. For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, not the people. We need to love the people no matter what messes that they're in, because the day is going to come. Marvel not at this, John 5:28, that the hours come that all that are in their graves will hear his voice. Everybody is going to be resurrected, no exception, because God has a plan for everybody. So he wants us not to hate people, because God is going to give everybody an opportunity to repent. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked one. You can read that in Psalm 34, verse 7, about the angel of the Lord. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. So rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. So just, that's the second point. Just give God the glory. Just say, God, thank you. I want to do everything to glorify your name. That's how to follow Jesus. Point people to him, and then you give all the glory to him. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known. How has he made his salvation known? What do you have in your lap? It's called the Bible. That's how he's made his salvation known. And then the life of Jesus. He came on this earth and everybody knows about him. Lots of people have different opinions, but that's irrelevant. The truth will set you free, and the truth is in the Bible, not the Quran. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Oh, he has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love. You know what his love is? That's the definition of God. Love, God is love. And he has remembered in his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Today, look at how God is empowering even the nation of Israel to do almost the impossible when he's got 5 or 10 nations around there wanting to destroy them. But he has given them incredible blessings, even though most of them aren't even Christians. But God has a plan for them. They do not profess to be a Christian, but their day is coming. But God has blessed them because of his promise to Abraham. Shout for the Lord, for joy to the Lord, all the earth, verse 4, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. So we can see clearly, we need to just be praising God all the time. First thing that we need to do is point people to God and give him all the glory, is the second point. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, let the sea resound, verse 7 of chapter 98, and all that is in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Now, how do the rivers clap their hands? Have anybody been to Niagara Falls? You can have some pretty nice clapping there when that water comes over the falls and you can hear it whacking the bottom and so on. But I don't know if that's what it's referring to, but let the rivers clap their hands. They're just praising God because they are there to glorify God, because the water that comes over those waterfalls can give life, because we need water to live. Let the mountains sing together for joy. How do the mountains sing? Well, the wind and the rain and the clouds and so forth are all, you know, you look at it and you glorify God, because if we didn't have that rain, we would have not much food, because it requires rain to produce food so that you can eat. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness. That's grace. It's called the resurrection, because that's how he's going to judge the world. He's going to resurrect them. And when they say, oh, where am I? What's going on here? And they're going to be able to listen. Whereas before they died, they said, who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. And then all of a sudden they get in a car accident and they don't know anything until the resurrection. And the peoples with equity, because God is fair. There is no prejudice with God. He is fair and he's righteous to the core, and he loves everybody equally and fairly because he made them all. Psalm 99, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble or be in awe. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. That's the God we worship. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King of is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of the cloud when at Mount Sinai. They kept his statutes and decrees that he gave them, at least for a while. O Lord our God, you answered them, and you were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds, because God says, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So finally, chapter 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us, and we are his. We belong to God. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I wanted to read this final little story that I thought might be a good conclusion to demonstrate how we can be attuned and how God is working in ways maybe we never would think about. A man who visited an indoor swimming pool regularly always dipped his toe in the water before taking a beautiful dive from the highest diving board. Asked why an expert swimmer should resort to the novice habit of sticking his toe into the water before diving in, he told the story one night. When unable to sleep, he went to the pool of a large college where he was the swimming instructor, hoping the exercise would induce some sleep. I did not put on the lights in the pool, he continued, for I knew every inch of the place, plus the roof was made of glass. And as I stood poised on the diving board, the moonlight threw the shadow of my extended arms on the opposite wall, making a perfect sign of the cross. Though not a Christian, I began repeating the words of a hymn I had learned as a boy. He died that we might be forgiven and that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. I cannot tell you how long I stood poised on the diving board, but without diving, I came down from the board and walked to the edge of the pool and climbed down the steps to the bottom. And to my amazement, I discovered there was no water in the pool. That evening, the caretaker had drained the pool dry. Then I realized that had I jumped, I would have plunged to my death. The cross on the wall saved me that night, and I was so thankful to God for his mercy that I knelt on the cold bricks on the bottom and asked the Christ of the cross to save my life. That night I experienced a twofold deliverance. That is why I always put my toe in the water before diving. Let's pray. Father, just thank you very much that you are at work 24/7. You never sleep. Thank you that you are our God. We worship you. We adore you. We praise you. We thank you. Everything we see has been a gift to us from you. And we are eternally grateful. And God, we just ask you to help us to always point people to you, to pray with others, to listen and to understand and to just care and point people to you. You are the kingdom. You're the King of the kingdom. And Father, help us to do everything to your glory, to make sure that everything we do, that you are the one doing it in and through us, so that all the glory goes to you. God, we just love you, and we ask you to help us to love you more than ever. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to understand your word more fully and more completely, so that we can have the kind of relationship with you that your Son and the Holy Spirit have, which is incomprehensible, but that's what you want us to be inducted into. That you've told us that we are God's, in the future we'll be a part of your family. And we are so awed by the kind of love and kindness that exudes from you. And so, God, we praise you and thank you and ask this blessing on each of us as we go from here, that we can keep you as our focus in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.